We have with us Senior Chief Kyle Thomas. You're there, Kyle?
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me on.
Oh, sir. Come on now. Good to see you again or talk to you again. Thanks for coming on and joining us and talking a little bit about. Let's start with the float down. You were talking about that before the show. What weekend is that again?
It should be the third weekend in August 18th this year.
Well, and I know it's not an event that we all sanction, but it is one that you folks work hard to keep safe and keep from getting silly. Do you want to give us some basic tips for folks that are thinking about doing that insane little event to be safe for the that event?
Absolutely. So as you said, it's a unsanctioned event. We don't advise anyone to take part in it. It's not an officially organized or sanctioned event. But
let me join you there too, Kyle. I don't either, and we'd really rather not deal with the problem of people ending up in Canada without passports, IDs. But yes, it's not a wise thing, but some apparently do it.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'd say that wearing a life jacket if you are going to participate in an unsanctioned event is a absolutely great idea. It's actually required in the CFR the temporary final rule, so that everyone under the age of 18, if you're not wearing a life jacket, you'll be removed from the safety area.
Oh, really? I didn't. That's the news. Well, removed is a diplomatic way for saying we will pick you up, take you away.
Absolutely, yes.
You have such nice words for that. So no life jacket, they get removed. Okay, folks, pay attention to that. I think also we'd really like them to leave behind the alcohol and not consume that during or before the event. So if they're going to do that, they're at least at a functional level.
Right, and that's a thing that I think a lot of people don't pay attention to is, unfortunately, there's a lot of boating under the influence, and then you do that with float down as well. Obviously, the wind, the sun, the environmental conditions just amplify the effects of alcohol and less reaction time. Those sort of things happen when you use those environmental factors on top of alcohol.
How many of your boats and auxiliary boats you think are going to be out providing some safety for this event that weekend? Do you have an estimate of that?
Yes, sir. So we have our two boats at the unit that'll be out, and then other units in the area will also send some vessels. We'll have anywhere from 3 to 4 of our auxiliary vessels, and then we work very closely with our state, federal, and local partners who provide, a huge amount of resources to this event just to make sure that everyone's as safe as possible during the unsanctioned event.
And that's not counting our good neighbors in Canada who also prepare for this event should the wind force them across the river and end up becoming Canadian citizens.
Yes, and they'll have vessels out there as well with the Coast Guard, Canadian Coast Guard, and Canadian Coast Guard Auxiliary.
Well, thanks. So I will. You know what? You folks have invited me a couple of years ago to come out and join you for that. I may give you guys a call and head on over there and go out for the float down and see if both the operations, see if I can help. As you know, I'm a big boater, so I may go do that. And,
absolutely.
So I'll give you a call. Obviously the Coast Guard's responsibilities are huge with the Great Lakes here. People underestimate it. They think the Great Lakes are just this nice little lake, and there are times it's an inland sea, and it gets pretty interesting out there. How have things been on Lake Huron for us in terms of safety? How many rescues? What's your current status over there?
So over here we have about 23 search and rescue cases. Sector Detroit's obviously our parent unit,
right?
Which we're subordinate to. They cover a much larger area. I'd say overall search and rescues are trending downwards. However, a disturbing trend that's been noticed throughout the 9th District, which includes New York, Michigan, a lot of those Midwestern states, is about 64 drowning deaths since January of 2019 to about today's date. So we just really want to encourage people to, be informed, have a plan, leave a float plan with a family member, and definitely wear your life jacket. It's too late to reach for it when you're in the rest or you're already in trouble or injured.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday in the paper that in the news yesterday that we lost somebody in Lake Michigan just swept out from waves and current. I think people underestimate those all around the Great Lakes in terms of how bad the rip currents can get. And wave action can result in pulling you out into the lake, and you ended up apparently drowning.
Absolutely. Yeah, the National Weather Service, people should pay very, very close attention to, oncoming thunderstorms and then any of those local ordinances, wave conditions. There'll be a flag normally at the beach indicating the currents or wave conditions. And if they advise you not to go in, obviously follow those local officials' guidance.
Well, yeah, I think it would be, I hate to use the term common sense, but you see a storm coming and there's a thunderstorm, you might not want to stand by the water, but, you know, okay, there are days. Sure. What's the most important, you know, we whole series of things we're talking about in terms of safe boat operation. Can you give us some tips boaters and things that you see that result in the biggest concerns that you have any given period of time?
So I'd say that there's boating statistics, obviously, that I put out every year, and some of the main things are, you know, operator inattention, improper lookout, operator inexperience, all those things, and then drinking alcohol or consuming dangerous drugs and operating a vessel. All those things are major contributing factors. But I'd say the biggest thing that people can control is putting on a life jacket, you know, taking a boater safety course. All those things are very important to be informed and actually understand the rules of the road. And then, you know, obviously, if the worst were to happen, at least you're wearing your life jacket when you went in the water.
Sure. What surprises me are the number of people that come from one of our, we have a lot of inland lakes, obviously, and they bring their small boat over and launch it in Lake Huron or in the river, and they go up on Lake Huron and have no experience in big water, and that lack of experience in how to deal with waves and any breeze at all, it concerns me. I watch people out there, I'm going, you know, they really don't quite have it. Go ahead.
Yeah, we had a recent case with a smaller vessel out there just this past Friday. You know, it's an 18-foot pleasure craft went offshore. You know, those individuals had quite a few years of fishing in the same spot, and unfortunately their stern became swamped, or the back end of the boat became swamped with water, and then caused it to capsize, and they ended up spending about 14 hours in the water. And luckily they kept their wits about them. They were already wearing their life jackets when they went in the water, which I would credit to, you know, their survival and recovery. And then obviously they were smart and got on the hull of their vessel. They had a flashlight to signal our helicopter out of Air Station Detroit, who came out. But I'd say that it all started with one of the gentleman's daughters giving us a call at Sector Detroit there. You know, and they were able to essentially, with her knowledge, saying, hey, they've fished this area for many years. They're probably somewhere in here. Normally they're back by now.
Sure.
I'm worried about it. And, you know, that definitely was the spark that allowed us to go out and look. So we worked with Sanilac County Sheriff's Office, Marine Patrol as well was out there. We had a Coast Guard helicopter out there, and then the response boat, medium 45-foot response boat from Port Huron and also Harbor Beach. And then the Canadian Coast Guard was working on some stuff as well. So it was definitely an all-hands effort, which led to the you know, eventual recovery of those two individuals.
I'm glad that's the case. You folks provide a lot of support for the Port Huron to Mackinac race every year. I've had the good fortune of being in that race a number of times. How did that start out this year? I missed it. I wasn't back in town in time. So what was the outcome of that?
It went very well this year. So we do the same kind of thing, except it's actually a permitted marine event, you know, unlike Float Down. The work do a great job of setting it up, and we have a lot of planning meetings and things to make sure it goes very smoothly. I'd say the wind conditions this year were much more conducive to a speedy start, and everybody seemed to go off very well.
Did that storm catch? I know we got some big storms passed through here. Did it catch anybody out there, or were they prepared for that?
It seemed like most people were prepared for that. You know, obviously, we were monitored in the race. Sector Detroit monitors the race, and just to keep an eye on it. But in our area of responsibility, which mine extends from basically the Caseville area all the way down to Algonac, we had one unmanned adrift. Kind of a flashing light on something that was floating, which we investigated, and it turned out not to be a search and rescue case. But other than that, we received no reports of distress during the race in our AOR.
Well, that's a pretty calm Mackinac versus some of them, so that's great. What else do we want to people boating public know before we have to move on here today? That's from your perspective is important. Make your life easier and keeping people safe, Chief.
Roger. So I'd say dress for the air temperature, dress for the water temperature, not the air temperature. You know, if the water's still 72 and it's a beautiful 90-degree day, that initial shock of entering that colder water, which cold water is anything underneath 77 degrees, can cause either a gasp reflex sometimes So once again, if you're not wearing that life jacket and you have that gas reflex, that could be a very deadly situation. So once again, pay attention to the water temperature as well as the air temperature and weather conditions. Other things people can do is use the Coast Guard app. They have a feature on there where you can file a float plan through the Coast Guard app. You can report distress. You can see boating information, safety requirements, and then also check the weather off the buoys. I use it myself before we head out just for our safety, you know, checking the wave heights, water temperature, wind speed, and direction.
I didn't know you guys had an app. I'll have to check that out. I checked the website, but I had to check the app out. Right. What's the current water temperature out there?
I believe it was 73 in the middle of Lake Huron and a little bit warmer in the St. Clair River. But obviously, as the winds change, the water temperature tends to kind of roll over on us sometimes and drop pretty quickly.
Right, right. As we get a breeze through there, it'll churn it. That's right. Well, I just thought I'd check on that. I appreciate your taking time to join us this morning. I'll check in with you guys about the float down, and we'll – is there – the power boaters are in town. Is there a power boat – where are they racing this weekend?
We just had the St. Clair Classic race yesterday.
Yesterday, okay.
And that went well. There was one vessel that capsized during a turn, but once again, the organizers and the safety craft quickly recovered both people, which I'm happy to report had no injuries, and it was went off very smoothly.
Oh, good. I appreciate that. Thanks for the update on that. Thanks for joining us today. And I'm being reminded that I should have said partway through, this is Paul Mitchell with Senior Chief Kyle Thomas on WPHN Radio. And thanks for joining us, and I'll look forward to talking again soon. Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you, sir.
Take care.